Couple of minutes after 10 o'clock, welcome to a Friday edition, kind of an extended version of the Mornings with Ed show. It is, in fact, the midday show, and coming up at 10:30 this morning, live music in studio, Moral Decay, and we'll sit down and have a conversation with them. So when we were putting together, when we were just starting to put together the Taste of Laguna, the first thought that came to my mind was, oh my God, Lindsey Smith needs to be there. We need to have Nirvana Grill there. It wouldn't be the same because we, in fact, have been touting the greatest chefs in the world. And I'm not trying to blow smoke in your face, Lindsey. Among the greatest chefs in the world is what I have sitting in front of me. We welcome from Nirvana Grill, Lindsey Smith this morning. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
How can I do better than that? That's like, that's the ultimate introduction, Ed.
Well, I'll tell you what, doing better is what you do every single night. I can't say this about any other place. I have never, ever had anything except an exceptional experience eating your food.
Thank you.
I swear, man. What is it? I know what it is. It's magic. It's magic. Welcome in this morning.
Thank you. I know, and it's only gotten better. You know, we've really, this year after COVID and the ups and downs with labor and everything, we really have just taken the time to get the perfect staff too. I mean, right. I am so in love with my staff.
Right, and they're
makes
great.
Makes such a difference.
I was in there recently, and yeah, it runs smoothly. There's you don't hear the screaming in the kitchen that you do in other places.
Maybe my loud music, but no screaming.
Yeah, here's the music. Yeah, which is also a nice little touch there. Tell me about putting flavors together. Tell me about the what it is that you do that you're able to just pull every flavor out of something. It's magnificent the way your food is delicious.
Thank you. I think a lot of it is that I don't try to overcomplicate. Right. I'm not trying to, you know, reinvent the mold or make right. something that's, you know, so beautiful and so manicured and has foam and this and that right. and jelly, and you don't know what to do with it.
Right.
It's just really good craveable food, really right. good soft flavors that complement each other. Right. And for me, that's how I eat. Right. I want everything to be at the best quality it can be, the best flavor it can be, the best seasonality it can be, and that they work together and it's not too complicated. Because right. I think things get lost
right.
with too many components.
Right. It just gets too complicated right. and all of a sudden, where did the flavor go? Where is it? Where's the reason?
Or which one am I supposed to be tasting right now?
Right.
You know? And so it's just food that you can come. You're in my almost house dining room.
That's what it feels
and
like.
And I want people to feel that. I want them to feel the warmth and comfort, what we put into the food. I want there to be that experience. It's like, I don't know exactly what it was, but just everything was so great tonight.
Right.
And it wasn't this extraordinary, I dressed up, I got into a suit and tie. And
right.
no, I want it to just be comfortable.
I think you've managed to deliver that. I really do. Is there a favorite item on your current menu that you love personally, that you not only love making, but maybe it's your favorite to eat as well? I love your current menu, by the way.
I mean, not particularly.
Branzino.
Our Lutemare is pretty damn good. And you know what? It is one of my favorite things to cook. It's something that so many people have, but right. so many people, I don't feel like it really, like, is this burst of flavor with the fish and the when you have a beautiful loup de mer or branzino or Mediterranean sea bass, whatever, wherever you go, that's the same fish.
Right.
It's got this sweetness to it. And when I describe it to somebody and they're like, well, what exactly is it? Is it like Chilean sea bass? I said, no, totally different species altogether. But it's like halibut meets sole. It's sweet like sole, but it has that textural weight to it like halibut would. And so you have kind of both of them, and when cooked properly, it just doesn't need a lot of help.
Right.
And we put garlic and some tarragon and chives and parsley and oil, and we put that inside with a little salt and pepper, and then we just grill it. And it's all that it needs. And when we finish it, we put a little brown butter and fresh lemon. And it's literally all it needs.
Right back to not overcomplicating something.
Right back to not overcomplicating
right.
it. It's the right technique, the right way. It gets the charring, but it's finished in the oven, so it stays really delicate.
Right.
And it's just a magnificent piece of fish. It is one of my favorite things to eat. My family, I think all of them, it's one of theirs.
Right.
And I actually had it last night for dinner with a girlfriend that came in for dinner.
Yeah. And I want it like right now, as we're talking about it. I want it right now. It is my favorite dish on your current menu.
Yeah, and it's always on the menu. It never leaves the menu because of that. And, you know, it's like last night we had the poblano chili, and we had the chicken wontons, and our kale salad, and the loup de mer, and our filet. And our garlic cheese bread, which is like out of this world.
Forget it, man. Forget the garlic cheese. You can't have any item without having the garlic cheese bread. I swear. And sometimes I'll have to back off the cheese bread, man. Like, all right, back off the cheese bread. You got to finish dinner.
But those are like my favorites, and I think those are a lot of people's favorites. And the chicken wontons actually we're doing at the Taste of Laguna.
Oh yes.
And we make probably 300 at a time when we're doing a batch.
Right.
And we create our own blackening spice with about 14 spices. And that we cook the chicken and blacken it, grind it up, and we put manchego cheese, red onion, cilantro, corn. And we make this really great mix. And then we stuff them into little wonton skins. And
that's going to be what we're tasting on October 14th at the Taste of Laguna.
That's one of the items.
So are you going to be mad if someone just like hangs out in front of the booth and just eats only your samples?
I will say we have had to tell people at times, you know, we really only have enough for like one for everybody. It's not to like sit here. And I have done that after like the third time somebody's come by, you know, and we're like running out of food.
Right. But, I'll bring a disguise. I'll wear a big old mustache one time and a hat the next time. Yeah. All right. Well, right on.
Yeah.
Most people or most chefs, most great chefs, got their inspiration from their parents or someone at home that cooked. Is that the same with you?
My mom is an extraordinary cook, yes. Okay. And actually, I'm the youngest of three girls. And when I was growing up, she had a little vegetarian catering company. And I would tag along always with her. Right. And her stepmother was a caterer in Orange County. Right. And she used to make a bunch of things that... You know, we didn't visit her a lot, but I know when we'd go to the house, she'd have like a mango chutney she'd always give my mom, or she'd have a cake that she'd baked. And so there was that influence. But the most influence that really like I always was engaged with my grandmother, my dad's mom.
Okay.
And we'd cook the holiday dinners and we'd watch the food channels, which was before Food Network. It was like Julia Child, Ming Tsai, you know, these people that were just not as familiar today, other than Julia Child. And we would just enjoy it. And I'd be like 9 years old. And I'd be like, Grandma, I just learned how to make this. And she goes, wow, okay, we got to try that.
Right.
And I was my dad was single from when I was 3 years old. And so we always made dinner together. And we'd go visit my grandmother every weekend. And then I would cook dinner with, you know, him or with her. And then when I got to be more of like a teenager, we would go to the fish market that was the original fish company in Seal Beach.
Right.
That's right around the corner from her. And I would cook a halibut almondine with rice pilaf and asparagus. That was like our staple that we did.
Mm.
And it's a dish that's on my menu now because it's so reminiscent of growing up and what I loved to cook. And I think that was really where she inspired me to go for it. And when I moved back at 19 from Hawaii, she said, well, you love to do it and you don't really have exactly what you want to do. Go to culinary school. And it, literally, I signed up and I never looked back.
And going to culinary school, did they actually teach you things you didn't know or you didn't have a clue about?
Well, yeah, I mean, you learn the mother sauces, you learn techniques. Right. I grew up vegetarian and pescatarian. Okay. I knew nothing about braising and grilling and all these things.
Right.
And still today, it's not like a super confident part of who I am.
Right.
I cook what I know. I cook what I like. I never really had a lot of bones that I cooked. And so... For me, when it was coming down to some of those things, it was something that I wasn't as familiar with.
Right.
And I really had to start to learn how to do that better.
Okay.
And I'm still learning.
So are you going to teach your kids or are they already learning?
Oh, they already. They love to bake, both of them.
Right.
My four-year-old, Mateo, he has a little wooden Montessori knife and he goes, okay, I'm ready. What are we making? And he wants to cut each and everything. If we make a smoothie in the morning, he's like, okay, I'm helping. And he wants to push the buttons. And my older son, Diego's 13 and he makes a mean salmon and he loves making pasta sauce with me. And you know, I'll usually shred up zucchini and do meat and, you know, make it so at least it's a little bit more dense with nutrients, and the boys love it, and it's just something we get to do together.
How perfect is that time together? That's got to be just amazing. That's perfect time. I love cooking with my daughter, and I'm teaching her and one dish at a time type of thing. So it is. It's a fantastic time, a moment in life to share with your kids. It really is.
It breaks down everything else. Yeah. You know, when you're cooking, it's not like anything else that may be going on is.
Right.
You're laughing. I mean, we made pizza 2 weeks ago, and we were rolling out the dough, and it just, you know, flour gets everywhere, and we're all laughing, and you know, it's one of those things. And then we're watching it to see how it bubbles. And one of them we did with too much fresh mozzarella on the bottom, and it turned to like water. And the other one was like, oh my God, that's so good. I wish we made four of those.
Right. It's actually, so, you're living life by the drop at that point. It really is. It's a moment at a time. It's a great, it's a great moment. The taste itself. Mm-hmm. So when we're there on October 14th, I wonder the ego of a chef. Is it, do you go around and taste other things and go, yeah, I could do better than this?
I try not. You know what? Everybody, it's so funny. So I'm dating now. I obviously got divorced about a year ago, and I'm dating now. And, you know, it's interesting when I've gone on a date, there's a gentleman that I'm actually dating.
Okay. Congratulations, by the way. All right. To him. Congratulations to him,
it
man.
You
scored, buddy.
Right. But it's like, do you critique people? And I said, you know what? I just enjoy not cooking. I enjoy that it's not something I'm doing in that moment. And I get to just enjoy what other people enjoy.
Right.
That I'm not constantly feeling like it's work.
Right.
And even at home, I think one of my favorite things to do is have my friends over and cook. Because it's a different experience. Right. At work, it's work. At home, it's time that it brings us together. And so when you go out as a chef, when you go out, I think it's really, you have to get out of your own head. And yeah, I might say, oh, I might do this differently, or oh, I really like this, or oh, I think I can make something. I love how they put those flavors together, and it kind of inspires something.
Right.
And I think that's the big difference of being able to let your ego set aside is, what are you learning from that? What can you create from that? What can you keep growing with? Because food is not static. Food is constantly changing. Right. It's evolving. Somebody comes up with something new or has a new thing that they're using to put together. And then you're like, oh, I would have never thought of that. And then that spirals into something else. And so if we're growing always and open to it, I think it makes us better at what we do.
Do you have another favorite chef in town other than you? Who's your favorite chef in town?
Gosh, I don't want to be partial.
Okay, yeah, don't. Well,
but,
you don't have to. You can name a couple or a few if you
will say, Oliver's Osteria is a really favorite restaurant of ours. My sons both love pasta,
and he
makes great fresh pasta. Yeah. And Eric and I are dear friends, and so I really do enjoy going there. If there's a birthday or anything, we're usually going there,
right.
Only because we know the food we're going to get. A few of the staff are close friends of mine,
right.
And I can have a good meal, and I know what I'm expecting,
right?
I don't get out a lot, though. So because it's one place that we know that we like,
right.
It's kind of become my son. It's like his favorite. And he's like, okay, Eric's going to teach me how to make this stracciatella, which is like a truffle pasta that he loves with homemade pasta.
Right.
And he's like, always gets that,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
And so it's just that creature of habit. And I think we all have that. It's sometimes hard to expand to a place we haven't been before because we know where we're going, what we're going to get.
Right. And you're so happy with it. You're so happy with what you're getting at a place. Why would I change? Why would I go? Right. I get it.
So
I
why totally somebody come to Nirvana is the same thing. Like they're naturally going to the places that they know, and they've maybe never been with us before. And so they're like, oh no, let's just go there. We know we can get this.
Right. Okay. So you're not just a chef. So where you get the delight of sitting there and someone else preparing for you, you're also a restaurant owner. So when you sit in another restaurant, do you kind of in your head, you're the manager now? You're going, oh, wait, this server needs a little help. Or do you do that stuff?
That I probably do a little bit more than I want to admit. You know, definitely because we all struggle with so much and my brain certainly works differently. It's, you know, through COVID and all these things, I've had to be more creative and inventive because it's not just, oh, I have a job, I'm getting a paycheck.
Right.
It's if I don't make this work, I've got huge rents and huge responsibilities to 20 other people that count on me to survive.
Right.
Not just employees, but family. And and some of my employees have been with me 13 years. They are family. They've been as long as I've been open almost.
Right.
And so it's really about the function. Oh, it looks like they're slow or what we're experiencing. And right now, I don't want to get too much into this, but I don't think people really have a grasp of the reality that us as restaurants are struggling through. We have never, I mean, I've been open doing restaurants for 17 almost years.
Let's get into it.
Yeah. I have never in my entire existence of this experienced the challenges with staff that I'm experiencing now. Not only are they coming in expecting far too much money, I mean, I've got cooks coming in and wanting like $23, $24 an hour. I've got dishwashers that want $20 an hour. I've got, you know, not only that's if they even show up and walk in the door.
Right.
And right now, you hardly can get people walking in the door for staff. Front of house staff has been a little easier for us. And we've really, like I said, we've got an extraordinary front of house staff we're really happy with. We've got, you know, about 7 crew members in the front that rotate. And between the hostesses and the servers, we're just so happy with it. We've taken away that bar position to allow them a little bit more on the floor and to be making the drinks and having that contact, because we didn't want to put back a sit-down bar with everything with COVID going on. Right. And there's no happy hour and we can't do the discounts and all of this. It was like a choice of function. And they're much more knowledgeable now. They're multifunctional. We're training them to know how to, if they need to get a dessert, how to do that. How to run food out, how to answer the phone, make a reservation, do their drinks. There's less back server bussers on the floor and more servers to really create the experience. And we've changed the function of Nirvana because of what we've had to look at in labor and what is available and what's not. And the lower paid positions are less available. They've moved into different careers. They've moved into drivers. They've moved into manufacturing or fabricating or, you know, construction.
Right.
And cooks, cooks and dishwashers, the industry is so sparse on.
Okay.
I don't know a restaurant in Laguna Beach that doesn't need at least one or two cooks right now. Not one.
So you're quite literally fighting with other restaurants in town for the same cook or the same dishwashers,
maybe,
in some
cases.
And
I know there's a lot of poaching that does go around in the industry.
But
I will never steal a staff. If somebody walks in my door and wants another job, fine.
Right.
But, you know, we ask our staff, hey, do you know anybody that needs a job? But I'm not one for that because it just puts a detriment to somebody else.
Right.
And usually a staff will move on if they can get paid more somewhere else.
Right.
It's just natural. At that level, it's the natural occurrence.
I found it striking that during COVID, during the early months of 2020, March, April, May, June, you really went out to the edge of the board, the edge of the ship, as we say, to keep your place open, to keep your staff paid.
Yeah,
that was really remarkable in how creative you got in order to do that.
It was not, I didn't know I was going to have to be that creative. You know, it was, we opened the market a week before we got shut down.
Right.
And we had this platform and it was like, oh, well, that was a good idea because... You know, it was based on shortage. I go to Trader Joe's, I go to, you know, Mother's, or and there's like no chicken, there's no meat, there's nothing on the shelf, there's no canned goods, there's no frozen goods. And I was just like, what's going on? I can get everything I need at the restaurant. I was shopping at the restaurant because I couldn't get it myself.
Right.
And it was just like, okay, well, if people need it, then let me know. And, you know, I put it on our Facebook and Instagram and on my personal and on my son's school one. And by like Saturday, it was like I had 200 messages. And what was I going to do with all that? And I'm like, well, I guess a lot of people need this.
I think 180 of them were mine, really. I need the salmon. Yeah. I need the flank of salmon. That's good.
No, we were so fortunate. And so the access of that and just being able to offer something that we had that wouldn't have somebody else strain because they can't find it. And, you know, everybody's in this mentality of like, if I don't get it now and they're stockpiling, then what's going to happen? We don't know the outcome right now. And that fear base was so prevalent for everybody that it created a lot of tension and this shortage that we experienced, and people weren't prepared for it. And so, yeah, the market, I mean, I think we ended up with like 220 items at end. And every week it evolved. The first week it was like you could order however many pounds of vegetables you, or whatever you wanted. And that was kind of a free-for-all. So by like the third or fourth day, it was like, okay, we need to kind of hone this down a little bit because this is a lot of work. I mean, the first day we had like 80 orders for groceries.
Right.
And some of the orders were like $400, $500, $600 grocery orders.
Right.
And they're huge, people really stocking up and realizing that there was a resource for them. And then it was like, okay, this is how we sell it. This is the poundage and the price, and this is what it is. And so, you know, people didn't realize too, that was, I think, part of it. A pound of potatoes, and our potatoes are probably the size of a water bottle.
Right.
You know, it's not that much.
Right.
It's like one or two potatoes.
Right.
And people don't realize that. And they're like, I think you shorted me my order. And I'm like, go into your scale and weigh it. We weigh everything.
It's a pound.
It's
buddy.
A pound. Yeah. And so then we start realizing, oh, people kind of need more than a pound. They need like 2 to 5 pounds of things.
Right.
And so we start adjusting and putting pictures and descriptions and organizing them. And it really was an experience that I'm so glad that we went through, because it allowed me to organize it, validated what I knew and my experience and the creativity. And if I didn't have to run the function of it all, and I'm dishwasher, I've been on the line for 3 months as the chef and, you know, cooking everybody's food, plating everybody's food on the grill, on the oven. And it doesn't allow me to do the creative part
right.
of envisioning the new things. And I've now recently been able to do a little bit more of that. And that's where I thrive. I love to cook, but I thrive when I'm creating and when I'm envisioning something new.
And when you do create, we get the benefit. We get the benefit.
I am happy to share.
All right. October 14th is the Taste of Laguna Beach. Taste of Laguna, all of the great chefs. We have one in front of us. What am I missing that we haven't covered for you?
So we've got a few things that definitely I would love to touch base on. This month we have our first of many wine dinners that we'll be doing at the end of the month. Okay. And we're working on the logistics in the winery right now and that we're pairing. But we're going to start doing that on Wednesday nights once a month. Perfect. Where we'll do a wine tasting dinner, 4 or 5 courses, and work with some of our vendors that we love. We're trying to work with Orrin Swift. We're just confirming dates right now if he's available. But one of my favorite vintners, Orrin Swift is not his name, but he is the maker that made Prisoner, that sold it, and then created his own winery. And so he's got some beautiful wines. We carry 3 of them from him. And so hopefully he'll be one of our first, if not one of many. And then we've got our cooking class series. All during COVID, I did Zoom cooking classes, right. which were extraordinary. And we'd have up to 70 people on. And so we're doing some of that again. And we'll do some in-house, they're not really cooking with us. They're more watching me cook, getting the recipes, doing a tasting.
Right.
And they can add little wine flights. So we'll be doing that. And we'll release all that information kind of in the next week or so of dates and what's available. And then we've got first part of October, our fall menu debut.
Beautiful.
Which is the first debut, really, that we've been able to look at doing in 2 years.
Right.
Because all during COVID, it was either we were closed, we were a market, or we were keeping a very, you know, similar menu and not doing those seasonal shifts.
Right. Oh, well, count me into all of that, please. Yeah. Count me in.
I hope so.
Please. And when you do next week, come up with these specifics.
Yeah, come back and we'll share it. But yeah, just look for the website. We put everything up there and it's got all the information. Right now, we just last week put on every Wednesday, we do Well Wednesdays, where it's 50% off any Welled cocktail.
Okay.
And then on the month of September, October for fall, we've got a bunch of wines that we're trying to get some new wines in. We're kind of one-ups of certain wines and wines that we want to kind of push. And we're doing a Fall Fun Days. And so we're doing 25% off a good variety of wines.
Perfect.
And so that's always available too.
The date is October 14th. It's a Taste of Laguna Food and Music Fest. The chef is Lindsay Smith. The place is Nirvana Grill. I could not be happier that you joined us this morning.
Thanks, Ed, so much. Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. We'll look forward to seeing you back really soon.
Sounds good.
All right. Okay. It's The Mornings with Ed Show.